Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by MUFG Intime Investor Relations. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I will now hand the conference over to Ms. Prachi Ambre from MUFG Investor Relations for opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Ryan. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call. Today on the call, we have Mr. Pradeep Kumar Khanna, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Abhayraj Singh, Senior Vice President and Company Secretary, Mr. Kushal Kumar Rana, Director of Works, and Mr. Rakesh Mahajan, Finance Advisor and Strategic Head, to provide insights on the company's operational and financial performance. Before we begin the call, I would like to give a short disclaimer. This call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon our beliefs and expectations as of today. The statements are not a guarantee of our future performance and involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Abhay sir for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Prachi. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Q4 and FY26 earnings conference call of IOL Chemicals and Pharmaceuticals Limited. Thank you so much for joining us today and for your continued trust and the support. We truly appreciate your time and your interest in the company. I hope you have had an opportunity to review our financial results and investor presentations, which have been uploaded on stock exchanges and the company's website. FY26 has been a good year for the company, marked by consistent operational execution, improving efficiencies, and healthy progress across both pharmaceuticals and chemical business. Despite continued geopolitical uncertainties and volatility across global markets, the company maintained strong business momentum and resilient growth. Q4 FY26 was particularly encouraging for us, as the company reported its highest-ever quarterly revenue, supported by cost optimization, improving product mix, and enhanced capacity utilization across key product lines. More importantly, the quarter also reflected meaningful improvement in profitability, in line with the operational direction and efficiency focus we have been consistently working towards. Within pharmaceuticals, non-ibuprofen API continued to witness healthy traction, with key products such as paracetamol, metformin, clopidogrel, pantoprazole, and other APIs seeing improved demand across markets. The company further strengthened its non-ibuprofen segment through the launch of Noxidil and the expansion of pantoprazole capacity to cater to growing demand. This reflects the steady progress of our diversification strategy and operational strength. Our chemical business also delivered a strong performance during the quarter, with improvement in both realization and profitability, supported by stable demand conditions and operational efficiencies. Also, the capacity enhancement in products such as ethyl acetate and acetic anhydride, along with recent commissioning of diacetyl, will further strengthen integration and supply chain efficiencies. During the year, the company continued to invest towards capacity expansion, process automation, infrastructure enhancement, and operational improvements, while maintaining a disciplined approach towards capital allocation and balance sheet management. Overall, the year reflects consistent execution of our long-term strategy, improving business fundamentals, and continued focus on building a stronger and more diversified platform for sustainable growth. With that, I now invite Mr. Pradeep Khanna, our CFO, to take you through our financial performance for the Q4 and FY2026.
Thank you, Mr. Abhay. Good afternoon, everyone. I will now share the financial performance for the quarter and full year, following which we will open the floor for questions and answers. During quarter 4 of financial year 26, the company reported a strong top line performance with revenue from operations of rupees 619 crore as compared to rupees 528 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, reflecting a year-on-year growth of around 17.4%. For the full year of financial year 26, revenue from operations stood at rupees 2319 crore, representing a growth of 11.5% year-on-year. On the operating front, EBITDA for the quarter stood at rupees 94 crore as against rupees 68 crore in the quarter 4 of financial year 25, registering a growth of nearly 40%. While EBITDA margin improved by 251 basis points to 15.2% for the full year of financial year 26, EBITDA increased by around 29% to rupees 290 crore, with margin improving to 12.4% from 10.7% in the previous year. Coming to the bottom line, profit after tax for quarter 4 stood at around rupees 53 crore compared to rupees 32 crore in the corresponding quarter of the last year, witnessing a growth of 68%, with PAT margins improving by 262 basis points to 8.6%. For the full year, financial year 26, PAT increased by around 36% to rupees 138 crore. The stronger bottom line performance was supported by improved operating profitability and efficient working capital management, leading to healthy cash generation. During financial year 26, the company incurred capex of around rupees 160 crore towards capacity expansion, operational improvements, and infra enhancement, and were funded entirely through internal accruals, reflecting disciplined capital allocation. Going ahead, the company remains focused on sustaining growth momentum through increasing contribution from the non-IV portfolio, higher utilization of recently commissioned capacities, and continued improvement in operating efficiency. We remain confident of delivering mid-teens to high-teens revenue growth over the medium term, along with gradual improvement in EBITDA margin from the current trajectory, supported by an operating leverage and efficiency enhancement. With this, we now open floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We take the first question from the line of Jaina Gilani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So, sir, we have acquired 100 acres of land near Vatinda Highway. So, sir, any timeline as to when do we wish to do the new capex, and what could be the quantum of that capex? Like, since it's such a huge land, I'm sure we have a mega project in mind. So, any estimates on that, sir?
Thank you so much, Janam, for asking this question.
as I think we also discussed these questions in the last few conferences also. So the new land is being under the regulatory approvals as of now. Few regulatory approvals we have already secured and few are awaited. Environmental clearances is also done. And I think we are expecting this project to come up in next 6 to 8 quarters or maybe 4 to 6 quarters. The investment size, see, the model at that land is going to be the more or less similar of the existing IOL plan, the mix of chemical and the API. And I think we always keep on saying that the CAPEX we are doing, we will be doing mainly through internal accruals, and on an annual basis we will be doing around 200 to 250 crore annual basis. Because all development will be done in a gradual and the phased manner. The whole investment will be completed in the next 4 to 5 years.
Okay. So almost we can say like almost 1,000 crores is the broad, we have a broad mindset, we have total outlay
broad,
again.
Broad mindset, yes, yes. Broad mindset is around 12 to 1400 CR.
Okay. 12 to 1400 CR. Okay. And sir, in this quarter, our gross margins have improved substantially. So, do we expect the margins to be in the like in this particular range, or is it was it a one-off because the prices increased and it was an inventory gain for us in this quarter? And going ahead, we should return to our normalized gross margins of 35-36.
So, no, this is not that way we can read the numbers. The numbers is the result of everything. This is mainly because of the operational efficiencies from our side and good tractions in the our non-IBU. The IBU also performed well, and if you see the capacity utilizations for all these products and including the IBU for last around the last quarters and before even that also was we were doing very well, and we were keep on saying all these things. See, the change what has been in this quarter is the uptick in the prices because we were having all the quantity volume we were having. So the little bit prices just coming to that number, resulting into that numbers. But inventory, I don't think that we were having some any meaningful inventory gain in that quarter because the uptick was, I think, in the very later part of the quarter. So we are hopeful that this will remain at least next some around 1 or 2 quarters as well. But see, if the prices are going for the finished products, the prices of raw materials are also going up. So I think this is not the way that we are not passing through the raw material prices. We are also passing through the raw material prices to the customers as well. But I think the more result is the company's efficiency and the product mix and the capacity utilization.
Okay. So, sir, in our previous phone call, we had mentioned that for FY27, we should see 10 to 15% revenue growth and 15 to 20% improvement in PAT levels. But I think, do we maintain that, or I think we upgrade that? Because if you're saying margins can be in 14-15%, so can you comment on that?
So I think we are still maintaining that. The improvement, I think quantity, actually when we given that improvement this year's we set the 27 by 27, so we are very sure about that we will be achieving it. But I think we will be remaining to that level, perhaps maybe little bit improved, but on a conservative side we are, if we say 27 by 27 from this, so I think it's around mid to high teen growth numbers.
Okay, so almost 15 to 20% revenue growth and EBITDA margins in 14 to 15% range.
18%.
We expect 15% growth in top line. It may be more, or 1%, 2% more or less. And for EBITDA margin, we expect 14%.
Okay, that's it from my side, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Maulik Varia from 360 ONE Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I hope I'm audible. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Sir, just wanted to understand, so we've seen growth across chemicals and pharma segment. So in terms of products which you mentioned, paracetamol, clopidogrel, pantoprazole, metformin, so how much was the volume growth in these products which drove this growth? And along with that, how was the volume growth for our other products as well, which is ibuprofen and the chemical side?
The product which you have just mentioned in the just you have named, all our existing product, including ibu, metformin, clopidogrel, and this pantoprazole, they are running almost at 85%-95% capacity utilization during the quarter and the year as a whole. It is around 90% average capacity utilization. And for recently added enhanced capacity of paracetamol, we have achieved around 55% capacity utilization on enhanced level. So, as regard to our chemical in which we are producing acetic anhydride and ethyl acetate, they are all also running at almost 100% capacity utilization, 98%-100% capacity utilization, even after increasing their capacity also. So, major portion of increase in revenue is from increase in capacity utilization and sale of these products, in addition to little bit hike in finished goods prices, but that prices are also complemented by increase in raw material prices also.
Okay, sir. So just follow up on that. So we were seeing a little bit of weak demand in the previous year, and then last two, three quarters you had guided that the demand is expected to revive, and that's what has happened. And we've seen that in the numbers as well. So can you, sir, directionally or qualitatively help us understand that, what had led to the weaker demand and what is driving this demand, and if this demand will be sustainable in the coming 4 to 6 quarters?
There is, as we have mentioned earlier, that the demand is not in every product, but in specific product, like in ibuprofen, around 3-4 quarters ago, the demand was lower due to overstocking of product ibuprofen in 2023 and 2024. But entrance of new product, new peer also in the market. But we were expecting that demand will be stabilized after destocking of these levels, and we were expecting these demand of especially ibuprofen from October 25 onward, and that has happened. And we anticipate that these level will maintain upcoming 4 to 6 quarters. And as regard to IOL, our paracetamol capacity will expected to rise to around 75% in current financial year, from 55% to 75%.
Okay, we are expecting capacity utilization increase from 55% to 75%.
For paracetamol and other for other products, it will be at optimum capacity of 85% to 95%.
Okay. Sir, just one last question from my end. You, I think, mentioned that the price increase happened in the later end of the quarter, and we do not see a lot of benefit from the price increase. So is that benefit expected in Q1? And are we expecting that the price, I'm pretty sure the prices of raw materials also would have increased proportionately. So will there be any benefit in Q1, or will that be passed in Q1 itself to the customer?
As a philosophy, we discuss with our potential customer and also for increasing prices of finished goods along with corresponding to the increase in the prices of raw materials. And a certain portion of increase in cost has been passed to the customers also. So we are expecting because we are mostly supplying to the direct consumers, not to the traders. So the scope of getting the abnormal gain from the price is limited.
Okay. So these gross margins are broadly sustainable, is what you're alluding to? Am I understanding it right?
So basically, you need to know the quarter-to-quarter basis. However, we have more interest on discussing the full-year basis. So if we, because quarter-to-quarter basis predictions is very complicated and is very risky to say about that also, considering so much of dynamism globally is happening. So I think quarterly, leaving apart from the quarter-to-quarter basis, if we see the quarter annually, we are very hopeful that we will be improving the EBITDA number as well as the sales number as compared to the FY26. And that level will be growth-wise, if top line, we say that it's something around mid-teen and mid to high-teen, and then the EBITDA is something around, like Pradeep ji just said in the previous question, around 14%-14.5%.
Okay.
This will definitely be translating into the annual terms.
Understood, sir. Okay. Thank you for answering, sir.
Every quarter cannot be the same. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sachin Kasera from Svan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. My first question was regarding ibuprofen. So one of our other listed peers, they have mentioned that the prices are not remunerative and not making margins there, and hence they want to close down. Is that an issue specific to maybe that player whereby their cost of production or commercials are not in track, or are you also experiencing such type of scenario where the margins in ibuprofen are under severe pressure?
No, not at all. I don't know what they are feeling or their concerns are. But regarding the IOL, this is one of the best products for the IOL, and that is witnessed by the capacity utilizations we are doing right now and for last few quarters. So we are managing around 90%-95% capacity. And for the next two, three quarters, we are not foreseeing any problem or any conditions where we should be worried about this product. And we are maintaining our leadership globally.
Sure. Second question was, we understand that the spreads in acetic business of yours, ethyl acetate, has moved up from $110-$120 to it did spike to $200+, but now stabilized around $150-$160, which is in line with historically. So is that understanding correct, and what is your view and comment on the spreads there?
Can you repeat your question?
I'm saying we understand that in your chemical business, the spreads have improved by almost $40-$50 per ton. Is that understanding correct, and what is your view and comment on the sustainability of these improved spreads in case they are improved in the chemical part of the business?
In ethyl acetate, we have increased our capacity from 110,000-120,000 tons also, and that is also running at around 98%-100% capacity utilization. Some of the figures you have mentioned is contributed by the capacity utilization on an in-house level, and a little bit also contributed by the margin expansion from ethyl acetate due to the increase in ethyl acetate prices.
If I'm understanding correct, that currently the ethyl acetate margins are running much better than they were in the March quarter for the months of at least April and May. Is that understanding correct, sir?
It is absolutely correct.
Sure. My next question is, sir, regarding the spend on R&D and our performance in terms of new product launches that we plan to launch in the pharma business. And also, we have been looking at increasing our revenues from the developed markets because there the margins are better. So can you tell us how is the progress happening there? And are there any exciting new products that are we are looking to launch in the next 1-2 years? And plus, how is the progress on increasing the share from the developed markets in the pharma part of the business?
So for pharma part business, we are covering the approximately more than 80 countries worldwide, and this includes the complete Europe, Brazil, Latin countries. So these are the countries we are already covering, and relating to the non-ibuprofen portfolio which we are maintaining, our exports is underway because we have the CEP for all the products, and we are in touch with the so many customers relating to the increased export. So I think we will be increasing this export, as the export numbers will be increased this financial year as well. So, I mean, definitely the export will be more for the non-IBU products. For IBU, we are already having around more than 40%, 50%. More than 50% export as of now. So that will also be increasing. And yeah, this is the export. The
question was more developed markets of Europe, USA.
Sachin, I do apologize to interrupt you, but your audio is not clear.
Is it better now?
This is better. Please go ahead.
My question, sir, was more specific to the revenue contribution from developed markets like US and Europe. I understand that the exports you mentioned are increasing from other markets.
Sequel
but
investments, sir. Huh?
Hello?
No. So, realization, Europe, as compared to, because there was a lot of voice disturbances, so I just repeating the question you are asking. That the realization with the domestic sale versus the Europe or the Europe versus...
Hello?
Sachin? Sachin, are you there? Since there is no response, we'll move on to the next question, which is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, Vignesh. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, so my first question is on, increase in realization that we are seeing across different products, primarily ibuprofen and paracetamol. Wanted to understand if we are seeing a higher realization coming from our export business, or are we seeing the price increase also domestically? And if you could quantify, I mean, what how much percentage increase that prices that we have seen compared to, from February to say now at this point of time, if you could.
So I think prices effect will be more in the coming time because as we said and discussed, the pricing the last quarters were not very in the later part of the March, if we say. And this is not only the prices of the finished products is increasing, the raw material prices are also increasing. So I think we should not bank upon that, the increase in the prices. This is the company's efforts for last few quarters and rather few years where we are working. So improved operational efficiency, better assets utilization. Obviously, the market uptake has also contributed to the good set of the numbers. Relating to the product-wise prices contribution, so I think that will not be possible for us to discuss the product prices and their exact contribution. So we will not be able to quantify that.
Yeah, so I didn't want the exact number. Wanted to just understand the spread has improved for us. despite the increase in COGS, are we getting a faster, higher realization versus a higher increase in raw material?
Because is that I think is more or less same or might be little bit increased, because whatever the prices has been increased, the prices are also being adjusted into the finished product. So not much we can say, the spread is not much.
Okay. Sir, one last question from my side. Wanted to understand in case of procurement of raw material, is there any issue on that side? I mean, on the supply chain side, that we are not able to procure the raw material for some reason. So if you could, because there are a lot of companies who are facing such issue.
In the first week of March, we have faced some crude waste, chemical and gas, which are provided by oil marketing company, the government refineries. But within 1 week, they have developed some metrics where they started supplying to all the manufacturer on a certain pro rata basis. So after 1 week, there was no difficulty in getting the raw materials.
Okay, sir. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Surabhi from NV Alpha Fund Management. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on the set of numbers. So my first question is, if you could throw some light on how much contribution has come in terms of revenue from ibuprofen and non-ibu segment. And within the non-ibuprofen segment, you mentioned that we have CPs for all products. So have we started exporting to the European nations? And so what is the contribution to the European nations from the non-ibu products?
So thank you, Subhi, for asking question. I would like to take the first part of question. Contribution from the ibu and the non-ibu within the pharma. So this is 62% around 62 for this quarter contributed through ibu, and the remaining around 38% from non-ibu. And the non-ibu products exports relating to the CPs, we started that, and we started last 2 years, and yearly basis this is increasing, and we will be having better export numbers for non-ibu products in this current financial year. So we are expecting that we should achieve around 25% in this FY27.
25% of exports to regulated markets from non-ibuprofen, is that right?
Correct. Yes, that's right.
So currently we are not doing as much regulated markets.
In non-ibu we are doing, but as compared to the overall, not very much.
So are the margins depressed to that extent? Because once you start exporting to the developing nations, like European nations, the margins has the scope of increasing further. Is it possible?
It is possible. It has the scope, because the export realization is better than the domestic sales. But that depends product to product. Some products have some better realizations, and some have a little bit significant. It is not the significant. Like, for example, if we take an example of clopidogrel, it can be significant, but in case of others, it may not be very significant.
Okay, and just one last question from my side. A previous participant also asked, a major competitor from ibuprofen is looking to sell its assets, and they were largely in longer term contracts in regulated markets. So is it possible that some of those regulated markets long term contracts, do you have to service those contracts?
I think last part of the question could not understand, but what I understand is that you are saying the long-term contracts for the customers which is being catered by some other pair of hours relating to the ibuprofen. Is that possible that the can be taken by the IOS? Why not? It is possible. It is possible.
Our marketing team,
our marketing team continuously works on those things. I'm sure they will be taking care of all these things.
Okay, sir. Thank you. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the follow-up questions from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Audible now?
Yes, please.
Yeah. So my question was, sir, regarding how are we looking to increase the revenue from regulated markets of US and Europe? How has been the progress in the last year, and how do we look to improve that in the coming next 1 to 2 years?
I think we are also discussing the same with Subhiji's previous question. See, for ibuprofen, we are already doing around 45% of the exports, and that mainly include the Europe. Relating to the Americas, US, on ibuprofen, that we are doing, but not directly. We are not doing that really much. We are doing it indirectly because US already in the facility relating to the ibuprofen, and there is not much difference whether we are selling into the Euro or into the US, because it is around 20 years back the generic products in US were getting more prices, but that is not the case right now. And relating to the non-IU, as of now we are having around 30% export share and 80% comes from domestic share. So we are focusing to increase this 20% share into the developing countries, mainly Europe, because Europe, we have a very good customer base in the Europe, and the European customers indirectly also goes to the US. We also have filed for all the products in the USFDA, so that is also in our plan for non-profit.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have lost the line of the management. Please stay connected while I reconnect the management. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the management line reconnected. We'll take the next question from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. My question was regarding R&D. How much we are planning to spend this year, and what are the new good products we are looking to launch in the current financial year, and maybe if you can throw some light also on the next financial year?
Certainly, R&D, we are having around 2 to 3% expenses annually, and there are not many products we are working on, and the R&D is basically relating to the process related. It's not the product development R&D we are having. We are having the R&D for in process-based R&D. R&D has basically two sort of the functions in the company. Number one, just to validate the process for the upcoming product we think for, and the second is the ongoing products we are having. So R&D keeps on continuing, working continuously for various products, but I think the product pipeline, we are having a very great pipeline, but normally we announce the product when we decided to go ahead.
Sure. But any exciting products you are planning to launch this year which you think can be meaningful contributor going ahead?
I think we can expect.
Sure. Next question is regarding the CapEx. What is the capital expenditure for the current financial year at the existing site as well as the greenfield site, and this 1200 to 1400 crores of CapEx at greenfield, can you share some more details with us, how much time are we looking to do it and what type of products are we looking to put up there?
Sachin, for greenfield, there has not been much CapEx as of now. It has not been initiated. Except the infrastructurally developing the plant, boundary creations, etc., because the plant is under various approval seeking stage. We procured certain approvals like environmental approvals is already in place, and apart from that, there are many more approvals is in the process, and we are hopeful that in the next 3 to 4 months we will be able to secure mostly all the process and we will start working thereon. So the CapEx is not initiated as of now. And as during this call also, we discussed that we will be doing around the 200 and 250 CR capex on annual basis at this new site as well, because we will be having this more or less same model we are having right now, and all the projects will be coming up in next 4 to 5 years.
Sure. This 200 crores capex in the current year, sir, is focused on efficiency, or it is also some existing products where we are looking to increase capacity, or is it for some new products? Can you give us some understanding on this 200 crores of capital expenditure planned for financial year 27?
It is a mix of both for growth and infra developments and efficiency improvements. So generally we are doing 60% growth and 40% for development of infra and automations and land procurements. So generally 60% on growth activities.
But last part of this capex is for pharmaceuticals. Is that fair understanding?
Yes.
And sir, in one of, I think, previous questions you mentioned that the capacity utilization is paracetamol is 55% currently. Did I hear that correct?
You hear it correct, but need to understand the background also, because 55 is of the recently increased facility. This is 10,800. Earlier we were having 3,600. That was running around more than 100%. So from 3,600 we reached to the 10,800 new plants. So this is capacity 55% utilization. We are talking about the new plant having the installed capacity of 10,800. So if we compare year on year basis relating to the 3,600 we were having previously, now we are having close to 11,000. So this is off that.
And how do we see this in the next 2 to 3 years? Should we look at the way we are looking demand? We are looking at 2 to 3 years, this reaching full capacity, 10,800 tons?
10,800 ton we are using that in the FY26. We are hopeful that we will be reaching to around 70 to 75% capacity utilization in FY27 itself. And I think in FY28, we will be having the full capacity utilization by that time.
And sir, with the 3x increase in capacity, is the cost become better and we have passed that on? Are we able to get some better margins? If you can comment a bit on that.
The existing paracetamol plant is fully automated, and because we have started around 3-4 quarters ago, the increase in the capacity utilization will result in the lower cost of production.
Sure, sir. That's very good and very positive outlook, and thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, and sorry for this hiccup during this call.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Harshit Singhania from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm audible.
Yeah,
thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great set of results. So I was just trying to understand, like, according to the capacity increase, what would be approx like maximum capacity revenue potential be right now?
For which product?
Like on the overall plant.
We have already discussed that we are targeting around 2700 crore in the next FY27, and we are expecting around 15% annual growth for top line every year on the existing level.
So is like 2700 crores our top capacity right now, top revenue potential as of the current capacities?
No. So I think the answer, Mahendra, given is relating to the how we are going to grow. But what you are asking is what is the maximum possible revenue can be generated from the existing capacities, if I understand you correctly. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So I think having considering the if we achieve 100% for all, this will be around 3,200 to 3,300.
Okay, great. I think that'll be it from my side. All of my other questions have been already answered. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Kanil from Boring AMC. Please go ahead.
Sir, would like to know what type of customer base do we cater for the regulated market? Are there generic clients, European generic clients or US clients or innovators or OTC, big OTC players, or they are small scale manufacturers?
Our customer base is the all A grade customers, top customers we have in the pharma, though they are into the both generic as well as the branded products and you call OTC. So they are the mix of it.
Understood. And sir, would like to know your strategy on scaling products which we have got approvals for across regulated and unregulated markets, for which we had made investment over last few years and which are getting approvals right now. Not metformin, ibupara and all. Any other product which you think can scale up to that level, such as allopurinol or anything, 300, 400 crore levels?
300, 400 crore level you are talking about.
Yeah, any product
so
you think which can scale up.
So
I think this is the product you have mentioned, that paracetamol, metformin, they are commodity product with high volume, but whereas the other product like clopi, penta, pheno, they have the potential of around 100-150 crore in the upcoming 2 years.
Okay. Clopidogrel,
pentaprolol. Yeah.
Okay, understood. And sir, the company, Indian company which is selling its ibuprofen asset, are you interested in it and taking the assets so you can get more clientele which were not under your basket?
I think we cannot comment on this sort of a question because of the regulatory as well as we are not sure about it, anything. We perhaps will not be able to comment on it.
Understood. But what's your view on that asset? Is it as a competitor?
We could not understand. Can you please come again?
Would like your view on that asset, whether it is good or it's a subscale asset compared to.
No comment, sir. No comment, sir.
Okay, understood. No questions forward. All the best for the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Vandit Dharamshi from Anantra Growth Capital. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir, on a very good set of numbers. I just had one question, particularly on the pharmaceutical side. Could you please give some kind of directional margin numbers that you would do for, say, IBU and non-IBU business?
Our company as a branded, we discussed that top line, we expect that the next financial year we can achieve around mid to high teen revenue side, and we would like to have maintain the better EBITDA margin, but product-wise or will be difficult to comment as of now. So IBU and non-IBU, we consider it as a one segment, so we do not share the number what IBU is giving in the bottom line. Revenue number we discuss, but the bottom line is not being discussed.
Okay. No problem, sir. But would it be safe to assume that it would be around the company average EBITDA margin as pharmaceutical as overall business for both?
Overall, blended the margin for this year is 12.4%. And what we expect for the next year is around 14 to 14.5%.
Got it, sir. And last question, more on IV business directionally. While you spoke about we looking at exports, do you think there can be some growth in this business for the next 2-3 years?
Yeah, definitely we can have. We can expect some growth in the IBU also, because still there is a little bit of scope of improving the capacity as well as the export market.
And the annual growth rate of 3 to 4% every year for ibuprofen demand also.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Ruchi from Vora Family Office. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Hello. Yeah. Okay, so my question, most of my questions are quite clear right now, but I just wanted to understand, we are almost we've completed 2 months of the first quarter, and of course when you said that we cannot analyze quarter on quarter, but how far do you see the company's position for the next 3 to 6 months from now, considering the geopolitical situations also?
I think we will be able to maintain the momentum for next 1 or 2 quarters. But as you also accepting, we also said that it will be better if we gauge the company's performance on the yearly basis rather than the quarterly basis, because so much dynamism is happening across the globe. So this is risky to comment on it coming quarter or next quarter. But because we have some expectations, we also have the market study, and we also know about our efforts, which direction we do. We also know the development relating to with the various customers. So on a yearly basis, we feel more comfortable to discuss.
Right. So currently, if we set a guidance for FY27, how are we looking forward and what are our targets for the near-term developments?
So this is around mid-teen revenue growth we foresee we will be achieving, coupled with the EBITDA around something 14 to 14.5% for this FY27. And I think last year we also discussed, so we will be able to achieve that number.
Okay, perfect. That sounds great. All the very best. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Maulik Varia from 360 One Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just thank you for the opportunity again. Just wanted to check, is there any update from the US FDA regarding the inspection?
See, the inspection, because US already made 2 inspections for us, all the products are CP approved. And we have also the approval from Brazil and other. So I think, and the considering the products we are in generic, so whenever there is a product comes for this approval, I think US FDA is approving the products considering their requirement as well, even without discussing, without visiting us. In that sequence, metformin was approved by the US FDA and followed by the fenofibrate and other 2-3 products. ANDA is already filed in, so they have certain questions. So we replied, and if they are going to approve the ANDA of the formulator, we also get approved with that. So this is not necessary for the US FDA to visit us for approving. They are approving even without visiting.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Sheikh Mohammed, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, and many, many congratulations for the excellent set of numbers. My question is, we are making many chemicals. I heard that there is a price rise in the chemical price. But my question is, what kind of business we are doing with the chemicals meant for in-house utilization?
So in-house utilization means they are the part of the backward integration process for the API products. So we are using for manufacturing the API, and in case acetic anhydride, whatever the capacity we are having, around 50 to 60% is being utilized for the form captively, and remaining we are selling into the open market. However, ethyl acetate is the product which is 100% being used for the merchant sale, because we do not have any use captive for captive consumption of this product.
Sir, what kind of price increase we have received in paracetamol? First of all, is there any price increase in paracetamol in the India or non-regulated market? Because I have read the transcript of Granules India. They have told that there is no price increase in paracetamol. Mostly they are catering in the regulated market. So maybe, but I need to ask this question to you also, because we are also doing in India.
So basically prices... prices increase was there in for across all the products, the chemicals and API, because of some disturbances globally. Logistics problem were there. The raw material prices also gone up. So to that extent, the prices were gone up. Okay. In India and also outside.
So are we having any inventory? The registered disturbance started in the March month only, starting of March, and the pricing increase.
In fact, the effect was later part of the March. So, and that was due to the increase in the raw material prices.
In the result section, I have seen there is some 30 crore inventory. What kind of inventory we are having?
30 crore.
Inventory, 27 or 30 crores inventory.
Inventory of 371 crore.
So it's a 371 crore inventory, not 30 crore.
Okay, so maybe I am confusing in that. Okay.
So inventory, basically, whatever product we are maintaining, we are also maintaining the inventory of the products we manufacture.
Okay.
You can ask this question separately as well with the details. We will be happy to answer.
What is that way to asking the question after the conference call?
Our presentation has the detail, and the last part of that, the email IDs are provided of the IR team as well as the company's executives. You can ask.
Sir, next question is, what are effect of crude oil pricing and West India conflict on the company performance? I am talking about logistic issues, raw material procurement issues. Are you facing any issues?
I think not much issue, but the prices across the board of all the raw materials has gone up to the extent the crude is having the impact. Logistics is also gone up and is going up, and the some delays into the logistically across the globe. So that to that extent it is impacting us, but no major and no direct.
Okay. Sir, do we import some materials from China?
Yes, we do.
Okay. Regarding metformin, key starting materials are procured from China only, right? So is there any company which is manufacturing in India, have started manufacturing in India?
As of now, no company is manufacturing.
Okay, sir. Any buyback scenario you are in consideration?
Of... to be shares? As of now this has not been discussed in the board, but I think whenever this will be discussed, you will be able to get it. Because whatever the, as of now, we are focusing on the growth. If we start buying back, then the growth will be impacted.
Yes.
Because sir, we also come up with the another land of 100 acres, so we also need to invest therein. So the company funds majorly will be utilized for the enhancing and just having the growth, because we have lot many growth projects. So but till the time we are having lot many growth projects, I think buyback perhaps maybe the second option.
So we are having lots of capacity in our growth.
Yeah.
Sir, the purpose of tri-acid in production, what is the rationale behind that? Are we using that in some API production?
Basically, it gave us technological advantage as well as the supply chain advantage internally. So that is the basic purpose that we have come up with the tri-acetin.
So where it is being consumed, tri-acetin, in our
It's a many uses we have outside the company also, because it's used into the food industry, pharma industry, cosmetics, perfumery. So it has wide applications. And it can also be the import substitute. It is also used into the cigarette filters. So it has lot many applications, and it can also be the import substitute.
Okay. Sir, next question is, employees' benefit expenses and other expenses are rising continuously. Because what I have observed is employees' benefit expenses around 2 years back, it was around 35-40 crores. Now it has been almost 70 crores. So we are hiring lot many employees, right?
Because see, for this quarter, I think, or this financial year, whatever the increase you are looking at, mainly because of the variable which we give the next year, we have provided for this year. So that is the reason, and there is no there is increase in the numbers, because we have come up the new plans as well. So that is another reason, but there is no substantial change beyond this.
Can you give guidance for that employee benefit expense for full year?
So 10 to 12%. No, relating based on the turnover, we are having around 10%.
10% of revenue, right?
Yeah. 9 to 10%.
Okay, sir. Okay, all the very best for the next future. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Canal from Boring AMC. Please go ahead.
Sir, I had two questions. Are we any planning to do some R&D on reducing our imported bill for the country? Any product you think you could indigenize over the next couple of years, which has dependency on China? And second, are we seeing a decreasing API assets across Europe and Western nations leading to more API demand for India and China, and except particularly for us? Over last couple of years, due to the environmental regulations getting stricter in Europe for last 2 years.
So the API demand from India is keeps on increasing on a regularly basis. So I think this momentum will remain same.
Okay. No. I was asking. There has been decreasing investment in API across European and Western nations, which is leading to any demand increase from them for our products?
So that is what I'm saying. The demand is increasing, and we also expect the increase in the demand, because either maybe because of the reduced investment by the European countries for last few years, and the investment is also coming into the India, and the demand from the India is increasing.
Okay, understood. And any product you could you are planning to import substitute from China?
In API?
No.
As of now, we do not have any such product.
Okay, understood. No questions. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. With that, we conclude the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
Thank you very much for joining us today and for your continued support towards the company. FY26 has been an encouraging year for the IOL with strong improvement in the operational and financial performance. Despite a challenging global environment, the progress we are witnessing across both pharmaceutical and chemical businesses, supported by improving product mix, optimum capacity utilization, and disciplined execution, give us confidence in our ability to sustain growth going ahead. Our continued focus on expanding the non-IBU portfolio, enhancing integration capabilities, improving scale across key APIs, and maintaining prudent financial discipline will remain central to our long-term strategy. We believe that the company is well positioned to build on the current momentum and deliver consistent growth. Thank you very much. And for any further query, please feel free to contact our IR team. We would like to thank all our stakeholders for their continued trust and support. Thank you once again and have a good day.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of MUFG Intime Investor Relations, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.